So today we celebrate All Saints Day, which is part of what has been come to be called in some places the Triduum of Fall. Right? I know you've probably all heard of the Triduum of Easter, right? That's the Good Friday, or Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, the Triduum. But this is, there's also a Triduum in Fall, which is All Hallows, All Saints, and All Souls. So three days in a row, and all commemorating kind of to the same idea that it's a time where we commemorate those who have gone before us, either the people who have passed in the last year or people who just all through generations are our ancestors in the faith. And it's an interesting time of year to be celebrating this sort of thing, and it's pretty appropriate. Because just in terms of the seasons and the way the earth is turning, this is the time of the year, of course, when the shadows start to lengthen, right? This is the time when the time change that you all followed beautifully and nobody showed up too early today. But the time change means, of course, that we get a lot more night than we do day. We're starting to have a lot more darkness in our days. And we get kind of a sense of it here in Southern California. You know, I mean, I know we quote unquote don't have seasons here, but you can get a little bit of a sense of the lengthening of the shadows. It kind of feels like fall. It gets a little bit cooler. You know, it's maybe in the 60s instead of the 70s. Now, as you know, I just got back from a week in Boston, and that's real fall out there, right? That's the real deal. I mean, I this is my first time in Boston, and it was a beautiful time to be out there. I mean, even compared to New York, I mean, it's serious fall up there in New England. I went by this house on the way to where the conference that I was attending that, you know, had all sorts of beautiful trees with the leaves changing, and it had a sign that summed it up. It said, fall is the best of all. But there's, what this season brings, whether you're on the East or the West Coast, is this idea of increasing darkness, right? Which is a natural thing. It's part of the cycle of the seasons. And so it's a season to reflect on things that are dark. Things like our fears, things like our uncertainties, and of course, on death. Of course, death is the focus of All Hallows, Halloween, but lest we develop some kind of morbid fascination with death, of course, we also have All Saints. This is a day where we speak not just of death, but of resurrection. But the fact is, of course, we're surrounded by, we make this day about reading the names and looking at the pictures of those who have gone before us, those we have lost. And it's a reminder to us that death is an inevitable consequence of the human condition, of being human. Now, if you were to look at our wider culture, you would probably see that reality is not easily accepted. It's not something we see a lot in our culture, right? I mean, we have Halloween where we kind of poke fun at death. You know, we look at death as kind of a silly thing. But other than that, we don't really talk about death in our culture. We're not comfortable with it. For the most part, when we have funerals, we don't even call them funerals. We call them celebrations of life. We call them memorial services. We don't even say that someone has died for the most part. We say that they've passed away, right? We don't spend a lot of time hanging out in cemeteries. I mean, maybe some of us do, but most of us don't. Now, that's a contrast to earlier centuries where I found this out. I was doing some research that before they had public parks, people used to hang out in cemeteries. Like, you would go to church, and then you'd get your picnic, and you'd go hang out. You and your family, you'd hang out in the cemetery, and you'd have a good old time, because it was like, that was a nice, beautiful place to spend the day, spend it with your loved ones. Maybe it's because death was just kind of a more present companion in life, you know, back then. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't blame us necessarily for having this kind of aversion to death, because having spent a disproportionate amount of my short time so far as a priest, walking alongside people through deaths, I can tell you that it's not always a pleasant thing for, especially for the people who are the loved ones of the person dying. It's not something anybody is looking forward to. And so we strive to speak, instead of about death, we want to talk about eternal life. We want to talk about resurrection. We say, we are a resurrection people. You know, we see that during Easter. You know, we're not about death, we're about resurrection. And that's not wrong. And that is what we're about. But our gospel story today, and this time of year, reminds us that we can't just rush forward into resurrection without going through some of those necessary and painful realities that come with death. So you have Jesus' story of raising Lazarus, and it's filled with all of this emotional, evocative language. We hear this story that I think any of us that have experienced the death of a loved one can relate to. Right? We start out with Mary, and she's pleading to Jesus. She's saying, Lord, if you would have been here, if you just would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And this is that bargaining, that questioning, that anger, all of these stages of grief that we have to experience and go through before we come to the acceptance part. And often those stages don't go away. They maybe just become less vocal over time, but we still live with them. And then we have Jesus, and the gospel tells us that he was greatly disturbed, that he was deeply moved, and then that he was weeping. And these translations are kind of sterile in a way, because they don't really get to the sense of how powerful the emotions Jesus was experiencing were in the original Greek. The Greek words really evoke this sense of a full body experience of grief. Jesus is feeling the loss, not just in his mind, but he's feeling it in his body. And what we know about grief and trauma now in our modern day is that we know that these experiences do affect us physically. Experiences of loss, experiences of grief. In some ways, we become, in just little small ways, we become broken by grief, by death. So we might presume in our story that Jesus, you know, being fully divine, Jesus knew that he had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead. So if he knew that, why did he still experience this grief? Why did he still experience this pain? I think it's because Jesus is not just fully divine, but also fully human. And it's in his humanity he's showing us that the path to eternal life leads through the valley of the shadow of death. And Jesus assures us, as he does Martha, that the glory of God does lie on the other side of that stone that seals the tomb. And of course, this is the glory that's fully revealed on Easter morning when that stone for him is rolled away. But it's first revealed in Lazarus. Maybe we could say that of when we talk about all saints, the saints that we honor, that Lazarus is the very first of those saints. Because he's unbound, he becomes unbound It's a sign of what awaits all of us in glory. But what awaits us is even better than what Lazarus experienced. Because Lazarus, he might have been brought back to life, but it was just a resuscitation. It wasn't a resurrection. Right? Lazarus died again. In fact, that's a pretty raw deal. He had to die twice. Right? Lazarus's healing is like all the healings that we experience in our lives. It's temporary. It's not the final end. It's not the final goal. It's just a foretaste of the restoration of all things that we all hope for in God's future. And rather than the healing of any kind of physical affliction, it's the hope that allows us to walk on our journeys through these shadowy valleys, especially when we seek physical healing, but we don't get it. It's hope that enables us to journey through this mystery, this painful mystery of death, and find not despair, but transformation. As our burial liturgy says in our prayer book, life is not ended, but merely changed. And as we talk about the seasons, it's kind of like as we enter into the season of darkness, the season of winter, we know that spring will come again, that life, the seeds of life lie beneath the surface in that darkness. And today, we're reminded by this presence of this great cloud of witnesses, the people that have gone before us, that we're not walking this path by ourselves. We're not walking it alone. These ancestors, these saints, they're walking it with us. And so today we honor them and we thank them. And we acknowledge the pain of losing them. But we also recognize that in that fertile soil of our grief, there are the seeds of unending life that are waiting to spring forth through the power of Christ's resurrection. Amen.
Amen.